Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Windows into Eternity, understanding the concepts of ascension. So much understanding is needed when we use the words that denote transfiguration, transformation, transmutation. What do these things mean? And what does ascension really mean? I am Almeen, and I am so delighted that you could join us today as a listening audience. We have with us Paul St. John. He happens to be my very dear friend and office manager for Spiritual Journeys, the company through which we write our books and so forth, and he is out of Oregon in the United States. So very much welcome, Paul, and thank you for compiling questions regarding this very fascinating concept of ascension. And please feel free to go ahead whenever you're ready.
Okay. Thank you, Almeen. Well, I think that I'd like to just start the discussion today with really what was a big discovery for yourself. I believe it was back in 2005, with what to me also is right at the very core of understanding ascension, and that would be understanding what the horizontal axis of existence is. I know that it's not something that many people have even heard of, so if you could discuss that and how it relates to the ascension that the cosmos is undergoing at this time, I think that would be very helpful for all our listeners.
Yes, I'll be delighted to. Now, first of all, what happened around the issue of how I discovered it is of interest. It happened, in fact, during the Venus transit of June the 8th, 2004. And I can tell the story a little bit. Shall we do that?
Yes, that would be great.
Okay. Well, for some years, over a million years of Toltec history, there had been a riddle that was unsolved by seers throughout Toltec history. And then on January the 5th of that year, it was communicated to me that the ascended masters of this planet have always told seers that if the mysterious relationship between the three and the four, which was with Toltecs, that's a specific way of mysticism, there are what's called three-pronged and four-pronged Nagwals. And it's represented, this mysterious relationship between the unknowable, the unknown, and the known, is the way in which the three-pronged, the four-pronged Nagwals relate. For instance, I've always been a three-pronged Nagual. I deal with pulling in information from the unknowable. A four-pronged Nagual woman would deal with pulling in information from the unknown. And the four-pronged Nagual male works with the known. So it had to be solved, this mystery, by one in human form. Now, you know, the problem is one doesn't even know what the question is. But if it had been the case that somebody could solve this, that life would make a huge evolutionary leap in consciousness. And so it seemed imperative that it be solved. And, you know, otherwise the information simply would have been given, but it had to be somebody physical. So when in 2002, when I received dynamic geometry through revelation, I'd been told that it was in preparation for solving the great mystery. And so I thought, well, you know, maybe this dynamic geometry had something to do with the relationship between the three and the four, and that's what the mystery meant. So on May 30th, a women's group had arrived and for their second week of instruction. And from the moment those seven light-filled women arrived, I felt that something just huge was going to happen. And a sister from Curacao explained that she'd been sent by the Catholic saints who told her I would be able to assist them in reversing the actions of black magicians. And she said a great deal of dark and destructive sorcery was regularly done by those who practiced in South and Central America, and it was usually done in the name of various saints. And she had promised them that she would bring a resolution to this situation and was told that I held the key. Now, the story is a little longer than the usual answer, but I think it's interesting enough that I'll share it in detail if that's okay with you, Paul.
Absolutely.
So I became aware that I held judgment against practitioners who use the powers of the hidden realms to injure and bind others with their dark arts, and their unscrupulous practices and lack of perception just always damaged the web of the interconnectedness of life. So it caused an imbalance in nature and has on several occasions resulted in tremendous cataclysms to the planet that have caused the fall in consciousness of man. I knew humankind had to descend and able to ascend, but still had a negative emotional response to black magic. So during the first 2 days of training this group, I traveled out of Bari during my lunch break to see from a large perspective why my vision surrounding this topic was limited and judgmental. I saw the numerals 999, and then a crystal was placed between myself and the numerals, and they now appeared as 666. And what this symbolized was that deep inside, we all know we should be able to make a profound difference to our fellow man through every choice we make. You know, light is 999, distortion is the 666. But when the knowledge of how to do this in a positive way becomes obscured, we seem disempowered, and then the ability to impact negatively seems preferable to having no ability at all. So in many of the countries where large numbers of black magicians lived, life is reduced to survival. In such hopelessness, there's very little thought given to the long-term consequences of such actions. So, you know, by the third morning, I could embrace with compassion this area where previously there had been judgment. As we sat down for opening prayers on that third morning, I heard clearly, this is the day for the key to be turned. This is the day the planet will move up and overtone. I shared the message with them, and I told them somebody is going to turn a key today. I asked them to feel the frequency of the trees and the earth, for later they would sing a different song due to the upward shift in frequency. Right, you know how sometimes things just come out of my mouth and I go, what did I just say? But it's always exactly what I'm supposed to say.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, you and I have had quite a bit of that. But right before lunch, to my own amazement, I uttered these words. I will be traveling out of body during the lunch break to solve the mystery between the three and the four. My feet automatically took me to the kitchen, where I had a calendar picturing crop glyphs photographed in England during 2003, and I barely had time to glance at it. And then I found myself turning to a page showing three crop glyphs that had appeared in the same location over a two-year period. Through the knowledge of the dynamic geometry, I could see that these images weren't depicting our third-dimensional illusion-based geometry with angles and joints. The crop glyphs clearly indicated that the four was created by the three. The square was created from a triangle, and it represented the relationship between the three higher bodies of the cosmos of man and the four lower bodies. Suddenly, a stigmata manifested on my left leg in the middle of my skin, on the shin there. It was the exact replica of one of the crop glyphs I was contemplating. So during my out-of-body experience, it became crystal clear that the infinite and its creation, which is like a vertical figure eight, It's comprised of the four great frequency bands of compassion, where the mental, emotional, etheric, and physical bodies of this vast being, which is the cosmos, is really comprised of. But beyond it lay an additional three frequencies, which are the spiritual emotional, the spiritual mental, and the spirit body of this vast being in whom we reside. A being in identity consciousness tries to function using only its four lower bodies to run its life. The mental body keeps this hold on the being's life by blocking information from the three higher bodies. In other words, it forms a barrier. A being that enters into God consciousness in preparation for ascension removes this barrier of the mental body so that the three higher bodies become the operators of that life. Now, I'd like to go further, but let's take a quick commercial break and we will be right back.
The brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back to Windows into Eternity, Understanding Concepts of Ascension. My name is Almeen, for those of you that have just joined us, and I have with us on the phone Paul St. John. And Paul, would you just repeat the question that we are discussing for those folks that might just have tuned in?
Absolutely, Almeen. Well, you're gracing us with the story that preempted the discovery of the horizontal axis of existence, which is what I have asked about because I know it plays a huge role in understanding the magnitude of the ascension we're now going through. So if you could continue with that story, that would be great.
All right. So, to entities in higher realms, these truths must have been apparent. After all, they drew them in the crop cliffs of England. But all of creation waited for understanding to dawn in the densest levels. It was in physicality that the key of perception had to unlock the barrier of the mental body and allow the influences of the three higher bodies to filter through. And, you know, that the four mental bodies of this vast cosmic space in which we dwell, that I then discovered there was a whole horizontal axis to it, is what is depicted, the four is depicted, which is, as I pointed out, like a being in identity consciousness. It's depicted in the Tree of Life. It's depicted in the I Ching. It is depicted by the Dzogchen. But there was a feminine counterpart, a horizontal, that had the three higher bodies in. So, you know, what happened is as I understood the relationship between the three and the four, square upon square upon square unlocked to its creative triangle into what seemed like eternity. and the square representing the four lower bodies and the triangle representing the three higher bodies. But eventually I stood before the largest square, which is the four great bands of compassion. The two at the very top we regarded as God the Father, or, you know, the infinite Father or whatever. The two lower ones were created, we regarded as creation. But another door opened and the new energy flooded into the densest levels of creation, and the true goddess, the mother of all things, the three higher bodies that created the Father, was filling all creation with her love. When I returned to the body, I was just in terrible condition. You know, I could hardly walk, my breathing was shallow. I explained to the sisters what had occurred, and the enormity of us left us speechless. We were listening to Handel's Messiah while attempting to internalize these extraordinary insights by understanding them with our hearts. But above us, above the house, the heavens opened, and I could see columns of angels descending. They blew on trumpet-like instruments, and the frequency raised the earth to the next overtone. So, you know, to make a long story short, the astrological phenomenon that's known as the Venus transit occurred right about then. It started on June 6th. 3 days after this occurred, when Venus moved across the face of the sun between the Earth and the sun, and the last Venus transit happened 121 years ago. And because Venus transits come in pairs, the next one will occur in 8 years. Now, that's 3 years ago, so it will occur in 5 years minus 2 days. The next occurrence is marked exactly by the auspicious event of the end of the Mayan calendar. So every Venus transit signals tremendous breakthroughs in communication and world views, such as Magellan's journey around the world to prove it wasn't flat, the instigation of the postal systems, or the emergence of the right of women to vote. Modern astrologers have heralded this 2004 transit as the advent of the divine feminine. It did indeed unlock the horizontal axis, showing that it was the mother of all life that created the father. It was only in 2005 that I was called before the mother and started to work on her behalf and became aware that the God, the Father, was in fact her first creation. Some astrologers have connected this event that happened to the goddess archetypes rising, claiming that the forthcoming years are a prime opportunity to reconnect with that feminine principle. But the event that occurred heralds the creatress of the infinite, the Holy Mother of God, pouring her love, life-giving love into creation, an event that will leave life as we know it altered forever. It will mean ultimately that poverty and disease must end, and immortality will come to creation during this creational cycle.
Wow, I mean, that's incredible.
It was.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
You're welcome.
I know just even reading about that discovery turned so many lights on for me because of just a lot of reading in the past of esoteric philosophy and how they always tried to fit the seven within the four, and they always missed that horizontal axis of the three that is really the origin of everything. It takes quite some time to really comprehend the depth of this discovery. So thank you very much.
And you know, no wonder that the male divine has seemed like the only deity, because all we could see through all our ancient teachings was this vertical figure eight, or the tree of life of existence. We couldn't even understand there was another one.
Exactly, yeah. Wow. So, I mean, you mentioned in that discussion 2012 and how it's the next Venus transit. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about how this date, the end of the Mayan calendar, relates to the work you're doing with Mother. And maybe you could also talk a little bit about what you foresee in the future in regards to Mother's palace on Earth. I don't think that's something that we've actually talked about very much on this particular show.
No, we haven't. The mysteries surrounding this pole are enormous. They are so incredibly vast and deep. Two nights ago, I had massive revelation upon revelation pouring into me for absolute hours. It has, again, transfigured me in a way that I didn't even know is possible. It has turned me into such a refined form of light that I literally have to continually make myself dense when I interact with others so they can see me. The ramifications of it, it's so huge. If I were to guess what is coming then, because see, our calendar is long since past 2012. So the Mayan calendar has officially already ended because time sped up when the ascension of the planet started in 2005 in February. But if I were to guess what is coming in the future, I'm going to attempt to describe to you the visions that I saw for hours that lasted, I think, started around 7 and it went all the way till midnight. Oh my goodness. I'm not often speechless, but
let me... tall order.
Let me try and tell you this. The thing that we have not mentioned on the radio that I know that you're aware of because you were there when it happened is that we have spoken about how Mother's love is so deep for us that she first created the Father. Jointly, they created, if you will, a television screen. They designed us the way you would design a car in flat lines on that screen. Then, like a computer screen, they made it three-dimensional. We became more real. Then they fleshed it out so it looked like a real car that's three-dimensional, that could disappear into the distance, that could come closer. It looked now even more real. Then it was brought out of the screen by Mother going into the screen and subjecting herself to the hardships of created life in order for her to bring her beloved children out of the screen. The Father held the space for this. She brought that car out of the screen but into virtual reality. And it was only in the first week of December 2007 that a most extraordinary thing happened. Space, as the lines along which we have moved as a cosmos to ascend, was totally done away. Everything basically lost its space and lost its time. It's very difficult to explain spaceless space to anyone. But if you can imagine that Mother is a physical form, which she is a form. Everything that's out there, including the vast oceans of consciousness, came from her and not the opposite way around. One of the very deep mysteries. But Mother wanted the virtual reality not to go away when she withdrew her attention from it. Because everything in front of her on the screen, in the screen, everything to do with that had to be focused on by her at all times, or it would go away. So then what Mother did is she brought that virtual reality through herself as the door of everything, from her outer space to her inner space. We all now exist on the other side of that door from where we did in November of 2007. That means we are in Mother's inner space. What that did is it took us from virtual reality, if you will, to players on a stage that can be hugged, that can be touched, and Mother can go home and have tea and come back, and the players would still be rehearsing on stage. They don't go away if she withdraws her attention. So that is where we are, in her inner space. The Earth has become the center of the cosmos. Mother is not actually on Earth, nor is Father. Mother has been on Earth all this time. Mother is holding the parameter around this issue of her inner space, and within it, the Earth and the cosmos resides. The geometry that is taking place is so exquisite. I wish I could make it understandable, but I don't trust myself to do that. But light beams come out. Mother sends light beams from herself and the Father into the Earth. They come out of the Earth and go through the cosmos, around the cosmos. There are swirling oceans of consciousness, of Mother's consciousness. That swirling makes those lines of light that have come out, those beams of light from the center of the Earth, which is the center of everything, makes it start a phenomenal dance of sacred moving geometry between the oceans of consciousness containing the cosmos within it. In the center of that is the Earth, the origin of the light, and around that is a shield held by the Mother and Father, and the light rays bounce off that shield. And ever so often the shield expands if the light becomes so bright that it pushes it out a bit. It is exquisite. None of our old 3D geometry of angles and joints. But we're in inner space. But where did the Earth come from? The Earth is actually a gate of time and space. It can open, and everything can pull through. How the Big Bang happened is there was only one creation other than the Father, and that's the home Mother created for them. We've been told time and time again that the Earth is the cradle of civilization. The history keepers of the cosmic cycles gave me that in dictation in the second half called the History of the Cycles in the book, The Gift of the Unicorns. It's in the book that will be available in February of 2008 called Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. It came out of the Isis libraries. The Earth is the cradle of civilization. So the Earth is actually the time portal and the space portal through which intention was shot, clustering awareness on the other side in the form of planets and suns and individuated beings. It was shot through her. But it's not the original home of Mother and Father, which Mother also created in her outer space, not the inner. So if you think of that as one point, okay, the original Earth is one point. There was a tunnel created projecting out this other time portal, this second part of itself, which is Earth, the Earth we know. So you have a dot on your paper, you have a line, and you have another dot. The first dot is the original earth, the home of mother and father. The second dot is where you're going to make your creation. You send your intention through that seventh dot, and you immediately create around it six other points making a cube. And within that cube, you then burst through and you send your intention, which clusters awareness into form. That's literally how the Big Bang happened and creation took place.
Wow.
If you're asking me if there's some big event in the future, I don't know when. I don't live very well by calendars. But to make things real, they have to be in Mother's inner space, not her outer space. Her original home is still in the outer space. There is a beautiful palace already on it, three levels of light higher than where the new palace is that's on this earth as we know it. There is a palace here. I've spoken about it quite a bit. Many of the masters in my classes have seen it and felt it and touched it. Now, that is the new Jerusalem spoken of in Revelations, in which Mother and Father by her side will dwell. However, there is also a palace on the other earth, which is still sitting out there, but is connected to this earth by that line that we drew on the paper, because this earth is its time portal. At some point, my belief is that we can't pull the earth out again. It'll make it unreal. So that other earth has to pull through its own time portal. In other words, you have those two dots on the line. The one is now inside where the cube formed around, is inside inner space. The other one's in outer space. The outer space one will have to pull through that cube and be projected outwards. Then that earth has to combine with the other earth.
Wow.
And that is literally the coming of the kingdom of heaven. So you first pull the original earth through the time portal of this earth into inner space. Now the line doesn't go outward anymore, it goes inward. Then in some way it has to pull its time portal back.
Wow, that's it's hard to know what to say after that. I mean, that's incredible.
Isn't it astonishing?
So,
I saw all this. You know, there are no animals on that planet, no fairies, no beings, just plants, sustained by the planet herself.
Wow.
It's exquisite.
So will this inner world then become literally a part of Mother's anatomy? I know before you've spoken of the entire cosmos as literally an expression of one of her cells. I'm wondering if now the cosmos, or the earth anyways, when it's brought into her, will literally be one of her cells. Or if that is something
that... That is an interesting question, because I'm not sure you know what you're asking.
Well,
but I
probably
what you
don't. That
have I sussed you out there, St. John? But you know what? What I think you're asking is the way that Mother would do that is to collapse the bodies around her physical form. Like each of us has a physical body, an etheric, an emotional body, which we film on the Carillion photography as an aura, and then the mental body and so on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, each of us has this. I bet you she's going to pull her bodies into her inner form.
Wow. And aren't they infinite? Her bodies. That's
well,
kind of...
the bodies, if she does that, literally she will be standing in the middle of mind at rest.
Wow.
It's like a total implosion of creation. Yet it has made us more real. What she always wanted.
Wow. Speechless.
So, you know, I found recently, what were those lines that we were, you know, in massive cosmic clusters. We were on strands that were like DNA strands. What was that? And why did we have those loops? You know, like there were four petals and some had 12 petals, and we were going around and around these loops as cosmoses. And then I understood those are like the etheric lines inside Mother's spine that was projected out there, and those were the lines along which cosmoses moved as they ascended. But there are no other cosmoses other than our cosmos. We have assimilated it all. And it's entirely due to the ascension that took place since 2005. We assimilated and assimilated and assimilated, and Mother pulled her DNA strands into one strand, pulling all cosmic clusters together and then assimilating them into one. Paul, you know, it's commercial break time.
Okay.
We'll be back soon, folks.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back to what is our third segment of our show. And Paul, you've been asking some really fascinating questions this morning, and the explanations have been a bit longer than usual, but I'm delighted we've got the chance to share it with our listeners. Please continue with what would be the next question.
Sure, Almeen. Well, thank you very much for sharing this. I know that these are very recent insights, so the listeners are very privileged to be getting these firsthand insights into the infinite and all that's happening. It's very exciting. So we've been talking about all of creation literally moving into Mother's inner space and thereby making it more real. And the question that follows from that is, what kind of senses are we to develop to be able to experience this inner space and experience our own inner spaces more real, as more real, as opposed to only seeing the external as real. I know that you've mentioned in the past there are many more inner senses than there are physical external senses. So if you could talk about that, that would be great.
Okay. So a couple of things. It is clear that the event we described that happened in December of 2007 was carefully planned by the mother because preparations were made. If you can imagine that you are the only being in existence, you have nothing to relate to, but then finally you manage to like shine a little spot of light on the vastness around you, which is a deep purple color. But there's a spot of light where you can shine something on. Then within that spot of light, you create your first creation, which is the Father. You now have an outer map of space. You have something you can relate to. That starts to form an outer map of space. To make it more complex and not just two-dimensional, you now have to create additional beings. But the bottom line of it is, how in the world do you create an inner map of space? So, it was earlier in 2007 when we got the instruction from the mother to develop and design an inner map of space and the senses that go with it. We didn't have a clue. It was one of the most profound jobs that we'd ever been given up till that point. I didn't have a clue where to begin.
Yeah, I remember
you know, we were
that.
In
I didn't either.
You were with me. That was up in Alaska.
Yes.
We were in meditation for hours. People were coming up with things that didn't work at all, like wispy bits of smoke and things like that. And finally, the following was developed. There are massive wheels that keep open like frequency bands that are concentric circles, one within the other, partitioned into little partitions in each ring. There are 96 little partitions in each of these big wheels. There are 7 of those big wheels that make up the cosmos. And they hold open the space, that flashlight spot, which is now on the inner space. But the wheels create a map. Each and every one of the expressions or frequencies within those wheels are, in fact, an inner sense. Now, if people would like to go to the Bell Vaspata website, do you know the website address off the top of your head, Paul?
Yes, it's just the word Bell Vaspata, which is spelled BELVASPATA.com.
Okay, on that website, you will find the pure emotions given and the pure states of being. Those are examples of inner senses. In other words, those pure emotions such as passion, joy, love, trust, peace, achievement, contentment, all of those things, they are the inner senses. They are the guidelines as to where you move next in your life, the way a blind man finds his way through a room. He can sense that I feel uncomfortable moving in this direction. My heart sings when I move in this direction. It becomes a sort of an internal map, not only the geometry of it, but also those frequencies become our guidance. Basically, if you do something that makes your heart sing, you know you're on the right path. You have just lived your highest truth. Now, The other thing that mother then did to make this inner world more real for us, other than to establish this inner map of space, which she took as reality, and also those frequencies as the inner senses, and there are 96 times 7 inner senses. There are only 5 external senses. So what she did beside that is that our pineal gland has been turned facing outwards. First of all, there was a problem with that because it somehow had output going. It was having its energy going in the wrong direction. So the input into the third eye wasn't properly taking place. She changed this. Then she changed before this massive transition that the pineal gland face towards the inside. If people have had headaches during 2007's December's beginning, that's why. The pineal gland, the energy of it, I'm not saying the whole gland changed, but the energy of it changed and flip-flopped so that it's now looking inwardly. Man always has been the microcosm of the macrocosm. The pineal gland, and again, I don't know if it physically occurred or if it's an energetic, the energetic pineal gland has done this, but it not only turned 180 degrees horizontally, because our pineal gland, as like a little eye in the middle of the brain, was looking backwards. So the past was always determining the future. Mother turned it to look the other way, and then she turned the top around to the bottom. So that instead of receiving from above its information, because the pineal is very much of an interpretive center, it now receives it from within. So those are some of the changes that were done to make our inner world more real than the outer. For anyone out there to really, truly utilize this and benefit from it, as Mother has recently said, that she and the Father will be a presence within each of us. If we take the time, we will find in the chamber of our heart, like a little temple, the place where we can see her face. And this was done days ago, where she's a permanent, she said that she will provide her highest wisdom's guidance to each of our lives. We can consult with her. She will be our constant companion. Now, the question is, do we take the time to do that? Do we take the time to listen? Like, Paul, I know that you take time in that you set your timer for every 2 hours to give love and praise and gratitude to the infinite. And, you know, we also take a bit of time in the morning and the evening. But now, not only that, we need an extra few minutes to listen. To ask and to listen, to see her face. So, you know, let's take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almeen experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego. In 2000, in the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master, and in addition, continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nahual and seer, Almeen's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the Heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the Heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almeen's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
Welcome back. We just have a few minutes of our show left. And Paul, do you have one last question for me?
Sure, Almeen. You mentioned that in moving into Mother's inner reality, we've entered a spaceless space. And I was wondering, I know that space and time were two of the building blocks of reality before this event. I was wondering if you could discuss a little bit with listeners what space and time, or at least one of them, were before, and that'll give us a sense of where we've come from.
All right, so what it was before it collapsed. As I said, you know, like the jets that travel through the sky, the sky is very vast, but there are lines that they draw on the map in the back of the airplane magazine that tells you exactly where they fly. There are airways, as United likes to call them. In the same way, in the vastness of the being in which we dwell and have our being, that Mother projected out there, there were specific routes that we traveled. It made progression linear, and it created space. We lay in clusters of cosmoses in vast DNA strands. There were 12 strands in a cluster. There were 8 such clusters. And the 8 clusters was one of 12 such clusters, and so on. So it's vast beyond comprehension. That's how space came, the linear lines along which we traveled, that we would open a portion of it at a time, a bit like a vertebra upon a vertebra upon a vertebra going up the spine. Those vertebra, or if you will, those spaces, were kept open by what we call oceans of consciousness, awareness that wasn't in form, that was part of an aspect of Mother. Now, what time was is the movement of awareness through space. Previously, awareness moved, and it moved in little tiny infinitesimal little spirals. And these spirals were called the serpents of heaven. And that's why saints were called sun, or sun, as in San Francisco or San Bernardino, whatever. The S-A-N in the ancient tongue means serpent, which is is, and un is heaven in the old languages. So it was serpents of heaven. Saints were those that cooperated with these spirals of awareness, the serpents of heaven. So it's the movement of the serpents of heaven, the awareness, that was actually the time. And awareness stopped moving. In August 2006, we described why that massive event took place in the Ring of Truth. But when that happened, time ceased. And, you know, but time opened up again because the fact is that we kept moving linearly. And then when the lines were abolished, growth became exponential. And time and space, for all intents and purposes, are no longer. So, my beloved Light family, we've come to the end of our show today. We are so happy that you join us. We can feel your presence as we do this work, and it is for you that we are doing these shows. With so much love to you this day and always, goodbye.
hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mee. Please join us again next week.